you, your ears, bantering the blue shirts inside of your ear. That is what you are listening to right now. The 31st episode of Bantering the Blue Shirts. They said we wouldn't make five, so we made 31. I am your host, Joe Fortunato, joined as always by my co-hosts, Michael Murphy and Beth Macklin. Ladies, gentlemen, how are you?
Who said we wouldn't make five episodes?
A lot of people said that.
Does the inside the ear thing squick anyone out? Because it squicks me out big time. We always have to start inside our ears.
But that's where we are. We're in your ear. That's the whole point.
Joe is like a bot fly.
We're just in your ear. Right now, I'm in your ear. Soon, Beth will be in your ear. And Mike. Anywho, this
you're
show
already
is
in my ear.
By our subscribers on Patreon. Thank you, all of you, every single one of you, for subscribing and donating and helping us bail Beth out of jail when she inevitably licks a New York Ranger. We would specifically like to thank Anthony Viola, Dan Lynch, Matt Bader, Eric Cohn, Daniel DeGenesis? I got that right the last time. Daniel, I'm very sorry. Daniel DeJunes, I'm going to go with. Michael Silver, Trevor Kempner, Thomas Osa, Alexander Thornton, Nicholas Forlenza, Dan Carosi, Taylor Ryder, John J. Porter, and Armriel Kistner. Sorry, I feel like a school teacher that's butchering names, but those are the people who are helping us, and you should be one of those people because you don't want to see Beth go to jail. You wouldn't like Beth when she goes to jail. Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. You will help us make the show better, and hopefully you enjoy the show enough that you want to donate. We just changed some of the levels. You can go to Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter to see what some of the cool rewards are for going to donate. But for those of you who have already and are continuing to do so, we appreciate you more than I can tell you right now. And that is a lot. We appreciate you a lot. So thank you. Sort of a somber start to the show. Stephen McDonald passed away yesterday, I believe, after suffering a heart attack a couple of days ago. Stephen McDonald is the detective that was shot and paralyzed from the waist down, or the neck down, actually, 30 years ago. The Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award is given in his honor. And that is an award that will be given with a heavy heart this year because Stephen McDonald is no longer there to present it. We talked about him on the show before. I think it was at the tail end of last year when we were kind of deciphering who the award was going to be given out to. And we talked about the importance of the award. And I think as of today, there is no more important award in the Rangers organization, at least at this point, than something that's probably going to take on a life of its own at this point. And Mike wrote an article about it. I wrote an article about it. But this is a somber moment in the Rangers community. And Mike, you're the emotional one on the podcast. I'm sure you have some well thought out thoughts on this that you can share with everybody.
Well, yeah, most of what I wanted to talk about is in my article. But I was kind of searching in my head for like what, you know, what that award means for Ranger fans. And it's really, really hard to think of another team, you know, an award associated with a team that means more or, you know, holds more value in the hearts of fans and members of the team. And as we all saw on social media, you know, players who used to play with the team, Talbot and Dubinsky and Callahan, you know, Brandon Prust has always spoken about what it meant to him. And, you know, it's a really, really big deal. It's a big part of being a Ranger. And, you know, Joe, in your piece, you talked about, you know, the very, you know, powerful connection that, you know, people who live in and around New York City have to, you know, emergency responders and members of the fire department and the police department. And, you know, there's very rarely a dry eye in the house when that award gets, you know, every year that happens, and I can't even fathom what the emotions are going to be, you know, at the end of the season when it gets awarded, almost certainly by his son Connor this year. But, yeah, it's you know, it's a lot of fun to talk about things like the Broadway hat and things like that, but those things mean, you know, nothing compared to what the Extra Effort Award means.
Beth, anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I've been there. when he's presented before, and it's just such an overwhelming emotional experience, I think, to see that and to see what it means to the team and what it honors about the team. And a good friend who I grew up with, also another family of huge Rangers fans, an NYPD detective, Irish NYPD detective, I should add, so they definitely moved in the same circles and was at that funeral. And just one of those things that really makes you think about the different communities that we are all part of here in New York, and the ways that they touch each other. And I think, you know, Stephen McDonald was always somebody who reminded you of that, both in terms about New York and about being a Rangers fan. But also just, I mean, on such an incredibly human, I think, and touching level, what he chose to value about the team was so important, what that award means. So, yeah, it is really emotional, and I can't even imagine what it'll be like to be at MSG when that happens again this year. No, I'm tearing up. So, somebody talk.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It is a big deal, and maybe a luxury that you don't really think about, and just how much he's gone through and how much good that they've done. You know, the Rangers are a very, very classy organization. I know we complain about some of the personnel and decision-making that they do, but from an actual organizational standpoint, the amount of people they help, the Garden of Dreams, the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award raises money too. There's a lot there, and there are few teams anywhere in the world that do it better than the Rangers do, and the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award was something that they did very well, and they do most everything very well. So,
I think that's really... In many ways, if you value that award and you understand what it means, it's the mark of, you know, someone who really understands what being a Rangers fan is about. And I don't use that kind of language often because, you know, even people who don't particularly enjoy my perspective or my analysis, you know, I always make sure, you know, if you're a hockey fan, you're a hockey fan. But if you're a Rangers fan, you know what this award is and who this man is and what the award means, and more importantly, what the spirit of you know, Stephen McDonald has meant and will continue to mean to the team. And, you know, he's unfortunately passed away, and, you know, 59 years is far too young, but, you know, what he's represented is not going to go anywhere. And that's, you know, a credit to the Rangers organization and his legacy. And it's a big deal, and it's a huge part of being a Rangers fan, and it's certainly a tradition that Rangers fans, you know, can embrace and be proud of.
A lot of people asking, not just in the chat, but in general, who would win the award or who should win the award. I would like to, ironically enough, see them give it to Stephen McDonald himself. Not sure if they would or if he would even want that if he were here. But from a player perspective, it's too early. You really don't know. I'm sure Grabner would be the front runner right now, but it depends. You know, it depends on the year. Matt Zuccarello wins it 1 year because he is, you know, by far and away the Rangers' best player. Brandon Prust wins it 1 year, and he's not the best player. Jed Ordmeyer, Sandy McCarthy, there's a lot of different names on that. You'll see the Brian Leeches and the Mark Messiers of the world and the Henrik Lundqvists, but you'll also see the Matthew Barnabys and the Grinders and whatever else have you. So I just a little somber. I think it's a great thing. I think it will continue to be a great thing. If there's a silver lining to this at all, it's that I think the award itself will kind of transcend into an even bigger level than it was before, and it does a good thing. It helps a lot of people, so it's a big deal. And you know, condolences to his family from Blue Shirt Panther and everybody with us, and hopefully they get through this, but I'm sure they will, and I'm sure we'll see them at the end of the year when they're giving out the award, and I doubt there'll be many dry eyes in the house that night. So no good transition, I guess, from something so serious back to hockey, but the Rangers have played one game since our last podcast. They had their scheduled bye this week, which Mike and I were talking before the show because Beth can never come to the show on time beforehand. Came at a pretty good time. Vigneault was kind of banging the schedule's too tight and too condensed for us, Drum, and the Rangers certainly looked tired. But in this week, we're kind of under the impression that we might be seeing at least one of Rick Nash, Mika Zibanejad, and Pavel Buchnevich back for Friday's game against the Maple Leafs. And in the event that the Rangers start to get healthy again, the name that is popping up as one of the guys who may not be around anymore is Brandon Peary. And we've had a lot of thoughts on him. I have a story going up on him tomorrow, actually. He was the media darling and the preseason darling of the New York Rangers. But as we kind of talked about for the past couple of weeks, he's not really hitting the net. And part of my story is he's not really doing anything. He's taken 1.5 shots a game. It's by far the lowest in his career. And he's just not generating anything. Not scoring is one thing. Not doing anything is a completely different thing. And it would not shock me at all if he was one of the guys who was waived or if the Rangers were very quietly looking to trade him as of right now. And, Mike, I'll let you jump in and let me know if you disagree with anything or how you see things playing out here.
Well, it is really interesting, like you said, at the beginning of the year, you know, his, you know, the preseason and, you know, in October, you know, all the goals that he picked up and, you know, he played his way with that, you know, that shot of his. We were looking at, you know, a team that all of a sudden had a power play that works, and the Rangers still have a power play that's working, but Peary hasn't been a part of it. And a few kind of interesting numbers is that, you know, Peary has, I think it's, you know, 8 power play points with the Rangers. So, and 14 points and 8 points on the power play. So it's very clear where he's making his mark. And last season, in the 52 games he played with Florida, you know, he had 8 power play points. So it begs the question, all right, well, what is he doing? You know, why is he behind, you know, the 24 points he had in Florida before being traded to the Ducks? And, you know, it's certainly, I'm not trying to take, you know, responsibility away from Peary, because he's got to hit the net. And I think everyone knows that. He's not on the team because he's defensively responsible. He's not on the team because, you know, he's a guy you can put out there and play big minutes. But it's been really interesting to see kind of how he lost the shine, kind of, and, you know, in many ways has lost ice time. And it's a crazy thing to think, but his even strength ice time per game is under 10 minutes, 9 minutes and 41 seconds per game. Yet he, you know, getting, you know, about 2 minutes 45 on the power play per game. And you can ask yourself, well, the power play ice time is there, and he's already matched what he did last year, but it's really hard to expect him to do anything at even strength. And, you know, I realize as I talk here that I'm kind of building a case, like, to excuse his play, but at the end of the day, the Rangers have far too many players in that bottom, you know, competing for, you know, that game of musical chairs in the bottom six, and now the guys are going to get healthy again. You know, Peary, I think he hasn't scored a goal since December 11th. He's very quickly looking like the logical guy to be the odd man out.
Beth?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I'm getting really tired of watching him get the same shot set up on the power play over and over again and not make it. You know, that's time that's taken up. That's possession that's potentially given away. And he's not hitting the net with it. And, you know, we see it at least once, if not a couple times every game. You know, I mean, imagine, I guess Ovi just got his 1,000th point, which is awesome. But, you know, when you send the puck to a guy in the same place at the, you know, in the same moment of the power play, you do it because he scores. You don't do it because it's tradition or, you know, there's nothing else you can think of at that point. So, you know, something else has to be taking up that space now. And, you know, let's face it, we're, like Mike was saying, it's a crowded field back there in the bottom six. He's getting, because guys are out, he's getting ice time now. You almost think, you know, his value is probably higher now than it's going to be after he sits. when everyone's healthy again. So, yeah, I mean, he does seem like a good candidate to move, if that makes sense.
I just kind of feel like he's on borrowed time, to be completely honest with you. I mean, you assume if everybody was healthy, he wouldn't be in the lineup right now, and I make this argument in my story tomorrow, Marek Rivik is a better option simply because of his defensive abilities, something that Peary just does not have. And the Rangers, for someone who looked like they can make such an impact, I mean, I went 6 points in his first 7 games. You're not asking for the world by just saying that you want 15 to 20 goals, but it's not so much about the goals as it is just generating something. He's played in 40 games and he's taken 60 shots. It's completely unacceptable. And you can try to put the blame on Vigneault for this one if you want, but it's not the way that it works. Peary just has not been a fit. And for all the excitement that existed around his signing, where a lot of people, myself included, were praising Gordon for this savvy signing, and not to take anything away from Gordon because it was a risk worth taking, he's just kind of faded into the background to an extent. Dedicated listener Michael Silvers often says Brandon Peary, Brandon Disappeary, and that's kind of what it is. You're hoping that he, part of the pun is reappeary, but you just haven't seen it. So at that point, you don't necessarily have an everyday job, and he's here right now because the Rangers need bodies. But Mike talked about it the other day. There's going to be a potential shift in seeing the Rangers put a little bit more focus on an actual defensive fourth line to maybe pick up the defense a little bit, and Peary doesn't fit that mold. And when everyone's healthy, yeah, Peary doesn't even fit into the top nine. And to be completely honest with you, even if you're going with a full-skill lineup, Peary might not make the top 12 either. So do you trade him? Do you hold on to him? Do you waive him? Do you just let him kind of sit in the press box and sign him to an extension so he can be expansion draft fodder? There's a lot of ways to go here. The latter, I don't think, is very likely. There are going to be players that the Rangers aren't going to be able to protect that are going to have better options. But I just don't see Peary on this team much longer. And Pumple, who has a concussion, him were kind of neck and neck there for a while, and I think Pumple right now is just bringing more to the table, and that's an indictment on Peary that, you know, this is a guy that I think the Rangers thought they might have found something with. He's still a restricted free agent, so there's a lot going on there, but the reality of the situation is if he's not producing, the Rangers, thankfully, it's a good thing, have plenty of talent on the forward corps that they can just back up and not have to worry about losing a guy like Peary when in the past it might have been a disaster. Anything either of you want to add on that subject?
Well, there's something interesting about, you know, in his first 7 games, he had 4 goals. And, you know, it was one of those, you know, when the Rangers were, you know, putting up 5 goals a game, but it was still pretty obvious that he was an amazing forward to have on your fourth line. And, you know, he's on the top power play unit right now. Over the stretch of the, you know, last couple of games, he's been getting, you know, that ice time. But if the Rangers do get healthy and they get guys like Zibanejad and Nash back, you know, sooner rather than later, and it's starting to appear that that will be the case, although yeah, I still don't think we'll have Zibanejad back just yet, but, you know, there are better options on the team. And, you know, one of them I know is someone else that we want to get into, which, you know, is potentially Grabner. But the thing with Peary is it's hard to say that he's hurting the team because, you know, he's obviously not an amazing player away from the puck, but, you know, he doesn't drive possession particularly well. And like Joe said, you know, the shooting rate is down, and there's no mystery to why he's in the lineup. He's in the lineup to put pucks on the net and to score goals. And that's a huge responsibility for anyone. You know, it's very rare you're a bottom six forward and that's your role. But that's what he's doing here. And frankly, Peary is a guy who's playing for his career in the NHL. There's a reason why he's kind of bounced around and that the Rangers were able to get him for nothing. And, you know, it's, what his future here will be is interesting. And at this point, he's, you know, he's played in such a way that he's kind of taken, you know, what his fate will be out of his own hands. So if he gets a couple more looks in the lineup, he's one of those guys who really can't afford to, you know, to not have games where he doesn't get two or three shots on net and, you know, generates a scoring chance. Because if he's not scoring goals and putting pucks on net, there's not a lot of reason to have him in the lineup.
If not having to score maybe one or two goals for the next couple of games in a row before he's just gone. I really do think he's on borrowed time to the point where how could you blame AV either? I mean, he's kind of done everything. I think Peary maybe hasn't gotten as much, you know, power play time as you'd like or whatever it would be, but he hasn't even earned it. So it just becomes kind of that merry-go-round. You can blame Vigneault for a lot of things, and I just don't think Brandon Peary is one of them. So it's kind of on the same topic. Speaking of getting healthy, Larry Brooks published a report today that Mark Stahl may have post-concussion syndrome. And this is sort of a double-edged sword here because Stahl is having somewhat of a bounce-back season. Between him and Girardi, it's been Stahl who's kind of gotten back to at least respectable levels at times. The silver lining is that Adam Clendenning will be in the lineup. He scored two goals in the Rangers' miraculous comeback win against Columbus, although maybe that was only one goal. I'm not sure. They changed the goal to Grabner to give him a hat trick. But we've talked a lot about the injuries the Rangers can and cannot afford to have on defense, and it's pretty much they can almost afford everything outside of a Ryan McDonagh injury. But are we maybe going to see the Rangers' defense look a little bit more fragile than they already have on this one, Beth?
It's just such, you know, you don't want to wish injury on anyone, and I very much hope Stahl is okay, but this is just one of those situations when you're thinking, really, him, you know, that's not what you want, and he's not, if you had to choose somebody who had to be in this situation right now, it would not have been Mark Stahl. There'd be a few names on the list before that. It made an already unstable situation. Yeah, is now more unstable. It's worse. And things were flimsy to begin with. So, yeah, that was quite the revelation. And, while on one hand, I'm glad they're taking care of it. On the other hand, it'll be interesting. I'm glad Clendenning, I assume, probably gets to play more. Who even knows? I think that's a safe bet. It'll be nice to see more from him, but I wish it was another player that he was in for. So, again, there's no way to say that without sounding like bad feelings in some direction, and honestly, there are none. But, yeah, I would not choose anyone, but would definitely not have chosen Stahl for an injury right now, which is interesting considering I don't think I would have been saying that at the end of last season, maybe the most interesting thing about it. So either we've deteriorated to the point where what I just said makes sense, or Stahl definitely has had a comeback. And I do think it's more of the second.
Mike?
I don't know. The bummer part of this, the human aspect, is that, you know, Stahl had concussion issues earlier in his career. We all know about his eye injury and, you know, the history of him and the visor and everything. And, you know, he's one of those guys, you just don't want him to get hurt. You don't want anyone to get hurt, but especially someone who's had to battle uphill as much as he has in his career. And, you know, for better or for worse, he's a guy who, you know, he's a homegrown, you know, former first-round pick. I mean, it's been easy to forget because he's been here so long, but, you know, Stahl has been, you know, around for a long time. And, you know, we talk about, you know, how he's kind of, you know, progressed a little bit, but, you know, his underlying numbers are not, you know, exhilarating or anything like that, but it's great that Clendenning will get, you know, an extended look, and he's already done, you know, a lot with very little. In fact, I think I told you two on Twitter that I think in 11 games Clendenning has won less point than Stahl does in 40 or 41 games. But,
oh, my.
You know, obviously there's a lot more to defense than picking up points and secondary assists and stuff. But it's a weird thing with Stahl because he so often gets by fans lumped in with Girardi as part of the problem because, you know, his contract is only a little less crazy than Girardi's. And then there are other fans who are so focused and so targeted on Girardi that they end up giving Stahl a pass in some ways. So he's one of those guys who Ranger fans don't seem to really know what to think of him. And I think that's always made him an interesting player to kind of, you know, sit back and take a look at and see how he compares to his peers and everything and what his role is and all that. But we don't want anyone to get hurt. That goes without saying. But it is a good thing that Kiri will get the opportunity. But as Beth has been dreading all year long, you know, a big injury to the blue line. I mean, who's the seventh defenseman now? I mean, I would imagine Graves or, you know, maybe Camper, just to bring up Dylan McArath's name again and make Beth cry. But you know, this is not a defense that you want to stretch any more thin than this, really, in my opinion. It'll start to get a little shaky.
You kind of mentioned all the points that I was going to make, and again, the benefit here is the fact that you do get to see Clendenning, but Stahl has kind of, it was impossible to separate him and Girardi last year because they were both struggling equally. Their contracts were both equally bad. I think the one thing that, like, the edge that you would give to Stahl is the fact that he was younger and he did have at least somewhat of an opportunity to kind of bounce back, whereas Girardi, you've just kind of seen this downward spiral from start to finish, and you know, it's almost hard to watch with Girardi at this point, and I think that says a lot more about the way the Rangers are using him than himself, because there's really nothing more he can do than what he's done to this point. It's not Girardi's fault that he's getting the minutes he's getting. It's not Girardi's fault that he is where he is. It's not his fault that he signed the contract. It's Vigneault's fault for the way that he's being utilized, and a lot of people seem to forget that at times. But when you look at the way that the Rangers kind of handle their business defensively, I'm not totally sure, you know, Clendenning coming in, he still needs to be given the opportunity. And let's be totally honest here, Vigneault did give him reps against Columbus, and he kind of helped them with those reps by scoring two goals or a goal and a half. Mike was saying that he thought it might have gone back to Clendenning having two goals, but
no, it looks like he just gets the one goal now.
He does just get the one. Okay. But it's, you know, these guys have to be used properly, and the Rangers having an opportunity to use a guy like Clendenning on the power play, to have him when you're hurting and you need goals, it's a big deal. And even if Vigneault's hand is forced on the matter, at the very least, it allows the Rangers to just kind of take that step forward and at least get a look at what the defense could look like with someone like that in it every day. And I went on a pretty big rant the other day on Twitter after the Columbus game because the point is not to claim, oh, you know, Emerson Needham or Dylan McArath were the greatest players in the world and they should have been playing. The point is not to say that Adam Clendenning is in fact Brian Leetch. The point is that the New York Rangers have a very nasty habit with Vigneault at the helm of using worse players, veterans, because they're quote unquote trusted. And it's not that you want to see Clendenning play because he makes the Rangers cup contenders. He's not Ryan McDonagh. He is not Keith Yandle. But he is better than what the Rangers have put out there. And if you can't see that, it's incredibly frustrating that a team that fancies themselves to be Stanley Cup contenders is not trying to do everything they can to make themselves better, then I don't know what to tell you. But that's where this comes from. This is not a place of thinking, oh my God, Adam Clendenning is going to score 50 points this year if the Rangers actually use him. More than likely, he wouldn't even score 30, although who knows? But the point is that he is a better upgrade, even defensively, than what the Rangers are using right now. And it's incredibly frustrating that you don't see the Rangers kind of take those steps forward. Because I get it. I get that there's a pride aspect to it. I get that there's a level of You don't want to admit you're wrong, but the Rangers have danced this dance for a really long time. And to see Clendening out there and do some really good things about Columbus, you know, we can get into Vigneault's post-game comments all you want, where I think Beth, myself, and Mike were a little upset that we didn't see Vigneault give him a little bit more praise and rather kind of go the generic route. But the reality of the situation is they have to be used. So him being in the lineup in the first place is a good thing, but whether or not he's actually going to get used properly is not necessarily a good thing. And I guess we'll get an idea of that. It was brought up in the chat room that Staal is still working out, so he can't be in the worst shape in the world. That was by Sean L320. But, you know, the Rangers, they got a lot of things that they're going to have to work through. And maybe Clendening makes it better. Maybe the Rangers coming back from all their injuries will make it better. My guess is going to be the latter is going to be a big deal. Having Rick Nash, Zibanejad, and Buchnevich come back is basically having your top line come back. That the Rangers have had this much success without them, I think speaks volumes of the amount of talent that they have on the team. But you can say that and also say this defense may sink them in a seven-game series. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, unless I'm crazy. Mike, you can talk now because I've talked too long.
No, I was just thinking about how crazy you are. No, it is a weird thing because I don't think any of us at the beginning of the year would have guessed that the top four defensemen on this team would have been McDonough, Nick Holden, Brady Shea, and Adam Clendening. But that's kind of where we are right now. You know, Klein has been, you know, a pretty big disappointment. In my opinion, probably one of the Rangers' biggest disappointments this season. I don't think he's looked quite as bad, you know, since the last two times we talked, but he's really not – when Klein isn't shooting 15%, he's not as much fun to watch playing defense. And, you know, it's a strange thing to think of, you know, what's working with the defense and what's not working. And I think I bring this up every week. It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? But I'm still – folks, I'm still trying really hard to figure out who and what Nick Holden is. But you can't pretend that, you know, the guys who have been good, you know, there's a reason. I think McDonough is a deserving All-Star this year. And I think Holden, you know, you'd have to call him the second best defenseman on the team right now. And it's a crazy thought that that's kind of the way it is. And we might be saying something different if Clendening was given more than, you know, 14 minutes of ice in the 11 games he's played. But that's what Vigneault has chosen to do. You know, even with Klein clearly and visibly struggling, and, you know, even with, you know, Girardi with, you know, the language we heard with, you know, the crowded schedule and, you know, giving Girardi days off and all that stuff. But, you know, it must have been a pretty weird ride so far for Adam Clendening in his time with the Rangers. You know, he's become kind of, you know, a favorite of this podcast just because he really is a symbol of kind of an asset that the Rangers seem to not know what to do with, and we see it every year. You know, and sometimes, you know, a guy like Emerson Edom doesn't amount to anything. He's currently in the AHL right now, but you know, sometimes you don't give a guy a chance, or you don't appreciate what he is, and, you know, they turn into Anton Strahlman. You know, I'm not saying by any stretch that's what Clendening is or can be, but, you know, you have to – it's very important for general managers and head coaches to be aware of their assets and to manage them properly. And that's why I think we do get a little frustrated when we see a guy like Clendening who really – you know, he's done nothing but live up to the, you know, the prototype of player that he is. He's in 11 games, he has 5 points. He scored a power play goal, you know, against Columbus. I don't know what else you can ask of a guy who's supposed to be a puck moving defenseman. I mean, he's 5 games and, you know, 5 points, 11 games is pretty good. I mean, I'm not saying he would keep that scoring pace, but you can't really pretend that's not, you know, that's not a really respectable showing for 11 games. out of a guy who's still, frankly, a young defenseman.
The other thing, too, Holden – so here's the thing. Holden has done an unbelievable amount of work in terms of adding offense that people weren't expecting. And that well of offense has been super important for the Rangers to kind of keep their head above water with some of these injuries. It's not like Holden is blowing the doors off in terms of possession. It's not like he's suddenly morphed into this number one defenseman. He's just scoring. And that's not to say, I don't want to make this seem like Holden doesn't deserve the accolades that he's getting and, you know, that he's not at the very least going above and beyond what the Rangers thought he was going to do. But we saw this with Klein a couple of years ago, too, when she was just absolutely – he was just scoring goals left and right, and he was producing all this offense, and he still really wasn't as good in terms of possession, but he kind of let it go because he was scoring. That's kind of what Holden has become, although he's been a little bit better on the defensive end of things. And I don't know what Holden we're going to have moving forward. I hope it's this Holden, the Holden that keeps on scoring and the Holden that keeps doing good things. But, you know – you never know, unfortunately. And I think relying on that and that alone as the source of offense, putting him on the power play and all that stuff isn't the best of ideas, especially when you have a guy like Glendening sitting. But right now it's working, so you can't really complain all that much. Speaking of the defense, Ryan McDonagh is the Rangers' lone representative as of right now in the All-Star game. And I think that's probably somewhat deserved. Do you think Michael Grabner probably should have gotten the nod instead? Like, as my voice gets higher and higher as I ask the question, kind of like stealing on Family Guy.
Everyone on Twitter likes to point out that Grabner has more goals than Ovi right now, or that was true before the podcast. To a guy who played,
that's
14 minutes a night? I don't know. This is a good way to lose a lot of listeners.
And Patreon subscribers.
I don't know. When I looked at the list at first, I was like, wow, one Ranger. But then, the Rangers have kind of been, they don't have any superstar really other than Hank. And Hank, as we discussed at length last week, hasn't been himself. And so, you look up and down the line, it's like, all right, well, is anyone lighting the world on fire in points? And it's Hayes and Stefan are leading the team in points, and they're both, technically centers. I know Hayes will move around to wing every once in a while, but it's the Metropolitan Division is a really bad division if you're a center trying to make a name for himself. There are way too many good centers in this division. I mean, I don't need to go down the list, but, Pittsburgh alone has probably, two of the top five in the world. So, and McDonagh is the guy who, in many ways, I think has been the Rangers' most valuable player through the first half. And as wonderful as Colton's been, he's not going to get voted into the All-Star game. So
no.
I think the right guy is going. And frankly, I really, really stopped caring about the All-Star game a long time ago. I still remember things like Owen Nolan calling his shot and then shooting it back when hockey cards had I don't know what you call it, but you moved it left and right and then it moved like a hologram card, I guess. But, I remember things like that from, and obviously the John Scott thing, but that was lightning in a bottle. It's gonna take a lot to make me care about it this year. I don't know, Beth, do you think anyone else should have gone?
It's the way I can't stop thinking about it is that if anyone needs a rest this week, it's Ryan McDonagh. I can't even imagine how much the guy just wishes he could just go sit on a beach, and I wish he could too. Because Ryan McDonagh's stressed out face makes me stressed out. I don't know if it makes anyone else stressed out, but those games when he just starts skating around looking like not only miserable, but also like all is lost. I mean, just let the guy have an umbrella drink and a beach chair and not have to go to this dog and pony show, which if they're not getting drunk during the draft, I really have no interest in watching whatsoever. So
we could do a drunken podcast, perhaps. If you are the person waiting to call in the 718 area code, we can't. The dashboard's not working. I can't take you. I sent it in the chat. You might not be in the chat room, so I apologize that you've been sitting and waiting.
Joe does the podcast while driving, by the way.
I do. I podcast. You know, they say don't text and drive, but they don't say don't cast and drive. So I am podcasting while driving, avoiding trucks.
Casting,
driving
Joe
the wrong
drives, way. And I'm in the trunk somewhere.
All that fun stuff, you know. We're bringing Mike to the pound so that he may hang out with some dogs with his penny full of his pennies and tin cans and whatnot.
I don't want to talk about that.
The very
yeah, they
first
don't let him
Blue
back
Shirt
at the
pound Banter.
Anymore.
The very first Blue Shirt Banter podcast was after the All Star game last year. Mike and I did the pilot episode. So
did we?
You know, we did. Talked about John Scott. It was a lot of fun, actually. That was almost a year ago. Oh, it's Dan's Lynch who was on the phone, too. I'm sorry, buddy. I wish we could take, but unfortunately, I keep clicking the button and nothing's happening. So, and Mike is going to, you know, at some point he's going to go totally insane about the St. Bernard. So we don't want to subject you to that anyway. I don't know. I don't know who else would go. I think Grabner would be the only other person, but the Metro division is stacked with forwards, and it's difficult. I mean, I think this is a name recognition award more than anything else, to be completely honest with you. At the beginning of the year, I would have told you I thought maybe five or six people were going to potentially be on the team. It was Miller, Hayes. They were leading the team in points, and there was a bunch of stuff going in the right direction, and I mean, McDonough, I think, is a choice the same way that Jonathan Toews was a choice this year, although not on the same level, where it's Ryan McDonough. He should be on the team. Every team has to have a representative. I'm not sure if every team needed to have a representative that the Rangers would have anyone go, and I don't think that's a slight on the team, even though it comes off that way. It's just no one's been remarkable, and that's kind of been what's remarkable about the Rangers season, is that no one has been remarkable. They've all been...
Yeah.
All been pretty good. So
yeah.
Dan's just saying Stepan should be an all-star. Maybe. I don't think there are
but when you,
bad options.
You look at the
but...
Metropolitan Division, it's Sidney Crosby, Taylor Hall, Evgeny Malkin, Alex Ovechkin, Wayne Simmons, John Tavares are the forwards. Which
yeah.
Ranger forward would bump one of those guys? And
right.
Not only in terms of what they've done, but also in name recognition. No other Islander is going to this thing than Tavares. We know that. Simmons has had an unbelievable year. Ovi, Malkin, Crosby are all locks. And then the Devils have to send someone. And obviously, Taylor Hall's the guy. I mean, the defense, other than McDonough, is Seth Jones and Justin Falk from Carolina. But, you know, the Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes have to send someone. So, you know, Bobrovsky's in net and Holtby's in net.
Maybe Victor Stahlberg can come for the Hurricanes and score like 900 goals against the Rangers, even though it's not the Rangers, it's just Ryan McDonough. You don't know. People might turn in to watch that. Yeah. We are going to lose you guys and go into the Tony time, because that is how we make you download the show afterwards to, pad our numbers a little bit. Yeah, it is the best trick. If you're going to the Ranger game Friday, come to the meetup. I will be there. Michael will be there. Beth may be there. We're not sure.
Beth won't be there.
Beth will not be there.
Beth will be outside MSG sobbing.
This is you've now made the podcast very depressing.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. So that's
wait, is that not,
that's
why,
not
I'm
why,
here?
Why you're here. You're here to be the smartest person in the room.
Beth will be throwing beer bottles against the garden and cursing.
Yeah, begging to come in.
Is that
Mac?
That's why we have
what
the bail money,
on?
Isn't it? Although I'd hate to go down for something that boring.
That's true. We do need the bail money. If you see a woman running down 8th Avenue trying to lick a Bentley or another nice car, that is Beth, and you should probably stop her to keep her from going to jail.
Aww.
God, why did Brady Shea have to score that goal? If he didn't score that goal, it would have become... Like, never in my life have I been upset to see a Ranger succeed, and that moment just sticks out in my brain as something that I wish just did not happen, just to
see
what would have happened.
It's the worst thing he's done all year.
You know, Yeah, it really was. Brady Shea, you know, you'd be really impressed with what he's done, or you could have some concerns about the sustainability of it, and maybe he hasn't actually been that good, and I think there's definitely some logic to that ideology, but he scored that goal, and he ruined my life when he scored that goal, because Beth did not have to lick a Ranger, and it's messed up.
First NHL goal is such a waste.
Yeah, totally is. God.
Freaking
so spiteful.
Yeah, it's awful. Really. I mean, truly awful. I'm appalled. I'm appalled for him. All right. Question from one of our Patreon. Oh, damn it. I meant to tell them this, and I totally forgot. So hopefully you're still listening. We're in your ears still, even though we've gone off live. If you are a Patreon subscriber, please, if you have specific things you want us to talk about on the show, send it to me in the Patreon chat. This way I can get it, and you guys will be first on the list in terms of what it is we're going to talk about, or if we have to meld topics and whatnot. So make sure you do that. One of the said topics was about how many points you think the Rangers are going to finish with, and where do you think they're going to finish in the standings?
Ooh.
I think that's a good question. I think that's a damn good question, and we're midway through the year. So I think the Rangers could still win the division. I really do believe that, despite all the flaws that they have, despite all the warts with the defense, if they're fully healthy, I think they could win the division. Now, what do I think will actually happen? I think the Rangers will probably finish third. I think they'll finish behind Pittsburgh and maybe Washington. I don't think Columbus is going to stay as hot as they are right now. But I can't imagine a world where the Rangers don't make the playoffs this year. And I can't imagine a world where the Rangers don't at least somewhat when we did see the Rangers at their healthiest, they were a dominant team despite the terrible defense. So are we going to see those guys again, or are we going to see kind of what we're seeing right now? And I think that becomes the question. Michael?
I think they're going to the playoffs.
You want to talk about the playoffs?
I predict the top wild card spot only because the Metropolitan Division is so cutthroat, and I'm also a bit of an Eeyore pessimist. Beth loves them, like to say. It's a really, really tough division, not just to be an all-star, folks, also to play hockey in. But it's. Like Joe said, he doesn't expect Columbus to stay that hot, but I also expect Philadelphia to kind of get their act together at some point. And the same is true of Washington. Washington is, by many measures, has not lived up to expectations this year. Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. They're going to keep doing what they've been doing. So I really don't know. I think third in the Metro or the top wild card is where I expect them. And, in 42 games, they have 57 points. So, trying to guess where they finish in terms of points it's one of those things. Just because the East is the way it is, the Metro is the way it is, the Rangers could finish with, freaking 110 or 114 points and be in the top wild card spot. So that's just kind of the way it is this year. But I don't know. I don't really have any other predictions other than that. I'm not very good at this game, though. I do notice that they have just as many home and away games remaining. They've played an even 21 on the home, 21 at home, 21 on the road. Beth, what do you think? Crystal ball.
Beth and her stances, which sometimes she doesn't take.
We're going to the playoffs, I think. I think Nash and Zibanejad and Vooch are going to come up and compensate to some extent. I think we're going to make the playoffs above the – I don't think we're going to need the wild card. I do think that do you want me to say what I think is going to happen when we get there or no?
Yes.
Or are we still talking?
No, it's fine because I can hear in your voice that it's going to be a dark, dark, dank place.
No, I mean what this team does is day to day.
Here we go.
Day to day, they fight. Not to condone this, But let's face it, they do find a way to win a lot of the time. They find a lot of different ways to win. But the problem is when you get into a playoff series up against the same team repeatedly, those ways are fewer and farther between, and holes and weaknesses get exploited. So I do think they're going to get a playoff spot. I don't know if they're going to make it out of the first round again, even though they're so much better than they were last year. Now I'm talking in a high voice.
I
am more optimistic than Mike for how the playoffs are going to start, but I have not much hope at all because of unless something big happens before the deadline and we have something that could conceivably be called a defense that other, you know, fan bases don't laugh at. I don't like being laughed at.
I do not think that I think the Rangers have enough skill that they can get by no matter who they're playing against in any given game. When the Rangers are fully healthy, I would not look up and down that lineup and want to play against that team in a game, any given game. However, over the course of a 7-game series, it's not overly hard to pinpoint the Rangers' weaknesses and then exploit them violently.
That's exactly what I mean.
So when you look at some of the teams,
just use more creepy words.
Okay, what? I am adding soul and flair to this podcast, and I would
use
appreciate
the word
it if I had some support for my friends. Yeah,
I mean, isn't that exactly what?
That's exactly what happened.
I'm very sorry, everyone who has eardrums. It's a regrettable thing that's happened tonight.
We're in your ear, and we're talking like this.
Well, do you think? Well, I think the real question is: do you expect halfway through this season, do you expect them to do better than they did last year?
Who, Mike, with the big guns? Beth, do you want to tackle this
question.
One, or you want to let me jump in?
I don't think they're going to go. I think the first series will go to 7 at least.
I kind of think
it
will.
Still making no predictions beyond that.
Of course not. We don't take stands in Beth world.
That is a stand. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not a stand.
I do think the Rangers are better equipped this year than they were last year to handle whatever monstrosity is on the other end of a playoff matchup. I think in the precious little time that we've seen the New York Rangers be fully healthy, we've seen an explosive offense with an unbelievable amount of skill and talent that has overtaken and sort of overwhelmed two key things. One, an average Henrik Lundqvist, and two, a bottom three, maybe top five horse defense. So on those merits alone, so long as the Rangers are healthy, they have to have a better ability than last year's destruction, right? Like, there's no way they wouldn't be better. You would hope, obviously, anything can happen. But is that team good enough in a 7-game series to win? And I don't think the answer is going to be yes. The Rangers got decimated by Pittsburgh. They didn't lose to Pittsburgh. They got decimated by Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wiped the floor with the Rangers. So do you expect to see something like that again this year? Probably not, but this is, again, assuming the Rangers are healthy, but you never know. Last year, Lundqvist was relatively dominant towards the end, and, you know, he had a quote-unquote rough playoffs because the defense was like I was out there. Me and Stanley were out there competing for the Stanley Cup. Stanley is my dog. He cannot skate. So this year, I would have to assume it would be better, unless I'm crazy. Someone jump in, save me.
Well, it's interesting that you use the word decimate, Joe, because the historical meaning of decimate means to kill one in every 10. So the Rangers are just a lot worse than that. It's decimate, the historical. That is why the root deci, as in decimal or 10, if you want to get all Latin about stuff. But
let me ask the question. Do I say things and then you just Google them?
Sometimes I do my best to make you look as stupid as possible, but I actually
I do not need your help because I just Googled decimate And it says, historical meaning, kills one in every 10, a group of soldiers or others as punishment for the whole group.
Yeah.
It's almost like you guys are using the same Google.
Oh my God. Do you think we could be using the same Google? Mike, does your Google G-O-O-G-L-E?
I've got a
blue G and then a red O and then a yellow O and then a blue G.
But I'm gonna defend my point here. Yeah. Even historically, I would say Dan Girardi and Henrik Lundqvist were hurt the most from that playoff series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's two on a team of 20, so that's one in every 10.
There's more than 20 players, but
give me that point. That was a good point.
Stanley's ears must hurt tonight. It's like everyone's talking in dog whistles. But
what? Did you just fall?
Oh, builder wine.
She said, "Oh shoot!"
Sorry, guys.
A
bookshelf just collapsed. But just books.
Stop for a second. Is this the damn library book location of the bookshelf?
I have lost track of that 1979 library book.
And furthermore, a bookshelf fell?
No, one of the single shelves on a larger bookshelf seems to have collapsed. And
I am
going to let my husband deal with that when he comes home.
Do you have ghosts in your house?
Poltergeist.
Yeah, poltergeist.
Anyway.
I had a question about that, by the way, before Mike gets into something serious. What was the library book that you borrowed?
I don't remember. That's such a good question. I bet my mother would remember, but no, I don't remember off the top of my head.
What would be a good Beth library book that you borrowed?
Remember that I'm 9.
You're 9.
So nothing salacious.
Yeah, and this was back in your Sphinx days, so we're talking hieroglyphics?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Hammurabi's Code, probably.
A bunch of angst and...
Hammurabi's Code?
It was definitely written in cuneiform and on stone tablets.
That's why the library was so anxious about it.
You had an interest on that late fee? God, it was probably a couple of $1,000 at least.
Perhaps in Aramaic on sheep.
I gave them several hundred goats, and it was fine, really, I think. I got to keep my favorite goat, so.
Comely goats.
It was the library in Alexandria.
There's a lot of historical references today.
Yes, we do. You learn so much listening to this podcast.
You do. That's why you should pay for it. Beth is the smartest one on the podcast, then Mike, then Stanley, who occasionally you hear barking, and then me.
No,
went straight
true.
Down the line.
That's true, though.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
No one really knows.
What did Joe say?
I don't know. I forget. I was supposed to say something smart, and it's escaped me, which is not the first time that's happened.
Especially now we're bothering you.
No, it's quite all right, though. There's something about... Oh, yeah, I remember what I was going to say. The key, I think, to how the Rangers are going to do is whether or not they avoid Pittsburgh. And it's not just because of, what happened last year, but it's also because it's really no matter how the standings shake out, it's Pittsburgh is the team in the East that everyone is right to be afraid of. It's hard to tell whether or not Columbus is a paper tiger. Bobrovsky's playing unreal. And then we took, Curtis McElhenney's job away, the poor guy, but he ended up in Toronto, I think. But that was a horrible thing we did.
Winning.
Avoiding the Penguins but that's kind of just the luck of the draw with what happens there. So if the Rangers came up against, right now the Rangers against Capitals in a 7-game series, I feel pretty good about it. Rangers against the Penguins, I feel very bad about it. So
yeah,
but
that's so luck of the draw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the nature of it, though.
But that's what it is. I mean, that's not an expression.
Yeah.
That's in this case.
Yeah,
that's what's actually going to happen.
To that point, in, say, if you're a true Stanley Cup contender, you don't care who you're playing. There's tougher matchups than others, but you truly believe you can take anyone. Where the Rangers are right now, I don't want to see Pittsburgh.
No one should. Yeah, it speaks volumes that I'd much rather face Columbus or realistically any team from the Western Conference than meet Pittsburgh. And it's just because that's how deep and scary the Penguins are. And, you know, the Rangers have been battling injuries, but so is Pittsburgh, you know, for the majority of the season. And they're still just plugging away doing what the Penguins do, which is win hockey games and score goals. So I would like to think that the Rangers will do better than last year. I think that's going to come down a lot. Like, it's all going to come down to what the Rangers do or don't do on deadline day. And the best thing they can do is likely just take, you know, a spare part they have from the, like, 18 forwards they have that are NHL-level forwards and turn it into, you know, a third-pair defender from somewhere. I don't know. where they will be from.
Defender.
But frankly, I think a third pair, like an average third pair defender, would be a huge addition to this team, and that says a lot. But that's kind of the way I feel. So,
NHL third pair or Rangers mean different things.
Average NHL, but you know, okay. We were looking at the Devils' defense the other day, and I felt pretty bad.
Why would you subject yourself to that type of torture?
Because it makes me sad. Because I'm one of those people, I don't like loathe and hate the Devils like some Rangers fans do. I just look at them like, oh, they're a rival, I get it. But holy hell, that defense in New Jersey is...
How long is John Moore out for?
I don't know.
I wonder.
A while.
Yeah, why would we know that? I don't know. I just felt bad watching him get squashed.
He's probably trying to get into witness protection.
No, I'm doing that after this one, actually.
Are you
really?
My
John Moore podcast. No, I am not. And no,
Beth
I don't.
Beth and Moore? More Beth? The John Moore podcast hosted by Beth? I'm here all day, folks. You can pay me money and I will come up with terrible podcast names for your
podcast. I bet it would
not
be that hard to lick a devil, actually. I have no desire to, but...
Security would be like, wait, someone actually wants to go see the player? Yeah, go ahead. Go in. You just go in with a crayon drawn picture of press credentials. I'm
with
here
the
to lick the players. Go to the training room, miss. They're all back there. Who would you lick? Which devil would you lick?
I don't even know off the top of my head. I mean, I would have
probably
said more,
Taylor
you know,
Hall,
just because, you know, familiarity.
Because he's the best devil.
Could lick a former Ranger? Does that count?
Maybe John Moore, because at least that you would have licked someone who was a Ranger at some point.
Well, that's what I was thinking. But
okay. Mike, who would you lick?
Boy. I don't know.
They don't ask
you know,
this on your other podcast, do they?
No. This is not a question I was prepared for.
What other podcast?
You don't have any stats there available.
I don't know.
Those numbers in front of you.
Maybe Corey Schneider, just to see, you know, if he tastes like gingerbread because he's a redhead. But I don't know. I immediately deeply regret saying that. But
you think that's a way different place.
Well, I had to bring it somewhere, Jeff.
You did, but you could have brought it someplace else.
Well, that's where I brought it.
Not there. You
it's here now, so let's just work with this.
Yeah, it's up to you now, Joe.
Here it is.
Who are you going to lick?
I was going to say Taylor Hall. Or John Moore, simply because he was a Ranger at some point. But Taylor Hall is clearly the best player on that team. So, what? Like, is someone breaking into my house? Is he barking like that? Yeah,
maybe your bookshelf fell down.
I wish I told you I'm distinguished enough to have a bookshelf, but I am not.
You have a bookshelf.
Or my New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution was to read more, and I bought myself a Kindle Fire.
You have to stop. You don't own a bookshelf?
Me?
Yeah.
not one that has books on it, no. I have a bookshelf that has been manipulated to be basically a liquor shelf.
No, that's not the same thing.
But it was at one point a bookshelf that could very well have held books.
Wait, did it once have books on it? And
not
the books went
in
away?
My possession, no.
Did you drink the books?
I you know what? I could have. I don't know why this came to my mind, and I don't know. I think I saw it on Twitter.
You're a writer.
I write from what tiny things are left in my brain. Like the one brain cell that's left, like that Twilight Zone episode. Yeah, no bookshelf. But I did make a New Year's resolution to read more, and I have a Kindle, and it is an Amazon Fire, rather, and it is the greatest thing. I've already read 2 books of Stephen King's The Gunslinger. I have 6 more to go, and I'm very pleased with my decision. Yes.
Well, Stephen King would take up a lot of space on a bookshelf, you know.
Well, he would take up the
whole
thing.
Some fat little paperbacks.
Yeah, some of his stuff I'm not thrilled with, but this is... one of my biggest compliments to Mike, and I know he loves when I compliment him live on the air, is that he is one of the very, very, very few people who can make me laugh out loud when I'm reading. It's very difficult for me to laugh when I'm reading, at least out loud. I find things amusing, but not necessarily laugh-worthy. And there are some moments, the books are not funny at all, but there are some moments that are just downright hysterical. And today on the train, I was laughing hysterically, and people were looking at me like I was crazy. So there's that. But yeah, I don't have a bookshelf. But I'm reading more with the Kindle. That's the point. That was the point of that story.
That's good. Reading is good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because Lord is fundamental. Knows I don't read my articles with all those mistakes.
And then people get mad at you on Facebook.
Oh, God. The people at Facebook hate me.
I just don't look anymore. It's terrifying.
I very rarely do.
I
saw that the Trey Gravin story had like 300 comments, and I was like, oh, let's see what logical responses are in here. Of the 300, I'm not even kidding, at least 150 of them were very simply derogatory things about me. Probably another 100 were derogatory things about the idea. 20 were like legitimate, thought-provoking comments, and then the rest was just rabble, 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 rabble.
Yeah.
So, I am the devil who does not own a bookshelf. That is the be-all and end-all.
You own a bookshelf. You just put liquor on it. It's different. And you could read liquor labels, technically.
You could. I will read the bourbon tonight, I think. But I've never poured a drink live on the air. On the podcast.
Unlike some people, though.
Unlike some people. We're
not
pointing fingers.
You really haven't lived, have you?
You can see where we're pointing, but we're talking about that.
I don't always pour them. Sometimes I just open them or, you know.
Well.
Yeah, the Dylan McArath situation was a rough one, for sure.
That was.
I could have gone to pharmaceuticals at that moment, and I didn't. So you're lucky I was just drunk.
I think people want to see a drunk podcast.
What happens when your son leaves you?
I don't know. I don't have a son. And neither do you.
He also wrote a very nice tribute, a little tweet for McDonald, which I thought,
almost
considering.
Callahan did, Dubinsky did, McElrath
did,
Brian Boyle did, Gabrick.
You know, like
Gabrick wrote something. Talbot. Gabrick, I didn't even know spoke English. I also think Gabrick looks exactly like Michael Grabner, for what that's worth. So,
I always
they all
Michael Grabner someone else.
What do you mean, not even
I
a little bit? They
could
be twins.
I honestly could pass him on the street.
Gabrick has a distinctive mole on his face.
Forget the mole.
And Grabner has a very gaunt face, very, very drawn out.
Yeah, he does look like he needs to eat more.
Yeah, he looks like a
man
who's on a raft.
So no, he can eat later.
Like a long-distance runner. He
it
also,
is crazy.
For a
it's
long
like,
time, had the goatee thing going on in his career.
Watching
Whereas
him break
Gabrick
out
the
on the penalty
double.
Kill. I mean, how often did Hagelin finish? Am I, like, repressing this now?
No, he had
like,
that same thing. It was all that speed and no finish. But Hagelin, you know, did a lot of the little things right. Like, you know, he like the sort of effort plays that would make you, you know, relieved, like just, oh, finally someone got out of the goddamn zone.
No. I'm literally talking about scoring, though, because I'm suddenly not just remembering. Well, because when I'm talking about breaking, going on a breakaway, obviously a goal is the thing you're concerned about. So I'm talking like
how many goals
Grabner's last
had
goal
with
the other night.
You know, I have never once been able to think about the Mark St. Louis overtime winner in game four of the Eastern Conference Final, and it was Hagelin who made that pass. But
Hagelin's best was 17 goals in a year.
He has 77 goals in his career. 18 playoff goals, believe it or not.
19 of those goals have come with Anaheim and Pittsburgh. So,
His
career best shooting percentage was 11.8 in 2013-14 with the Rangers.
He never had more than 35 points, though. But he was never really in that role either.
No, that's a very fair point, Joe. And it's interesting. You look at his, 33 points, 35 points. But in the year where he had 35 points, he put 185 shots on that. That's damn respectable.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about how Peary isn't shooting. When you look at a guy who's, Hagelin almost exclusively played in that third line role, 185 shots is pretty damn good.
The Buchnevich just had an assist in Hartford. I don't think we talked about that.
We found him.
It was us that found him.
Yeah. He has a goal and an assist in three games now.
Yeah, we've done a lot of good things on this podcast.
It was a primary assist as well.
Not so good things, too. But
we had done some not so good things. You know?
Nicholas Jensen has a two-goal game in Hartford.
He does. 16. We sent a horde of pitchfork and torch-waving fanatics into the trees. Maybe they built a home out there.
Who is not in the trees, so I don't really know why we sent them there.
Well, Mike said
it's all
he lived
kind
in
of blurry
trees,
now.
So they're coming after Mike next.
Mike.
What? Mike. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, you know what? You deserve it when the tree people come for you, then.
I was trying to figure out who
Matt
Carey is. Oh, now
there's tree people.
Well, you assume that some of them will just migrate to the trees forever, no?
How long do you have to stay in a tree to be a tree person?
I would say as soon as you're in a tree and you think to yourself, I am now one with the tree, you have become a tree person. I don't think it's
Joe, right. Did you know, Joe, that a sloth will come down from its tree once a week to go poo and pee?
It did.
Wait, you're going to need to say that again because I can't have heard what I just think I heard.
So a sloth only poops and pees once a week, and he comes down once a week from his tree, and does his business, and then he goes back up in his tree.
That is an animal that makes an efficient use of its time.
Yeah, they're so slow that they would get eaten if otherwise.
Yeah,
this has been the Nature Hour.
Nature designed a very peculiar metabolism on an animal that hangs upside down. You wouldn't want to poop
nature and history.
No, probably not.
No, you definitely wouldn't want to do that. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I realize we haven't said the F word on this podcast.
I don't think we've said the F word in a couple of podcasts.
No, I always do it.
Oh, are we talking about the actual F word or something that I can't think of now?
We're
I can't think of anything else I'm supposed not supposed to
swim.
Say.
What other F word would there be?
I don't know. I mean, we called McElrath the M word for a while, so I was just trying to remember if there was anything that was going to upset me that started with F that we weren't talking about.
Right.
So
if there was an F word that upset you about the Rangers, this is how we'll end the podcast. What would it be? A lot of dead air on the podcast. All of us think about things that begin with an F. I don't think there's anything, actually. That was a stupid question. I'm a terrible podcast.
Fast in the top six.
Oh, Mike from the top belt. Yes. I'll give you one better. Fast on the top line. Top that, Beth.
Nope, that's just strange. I can't top that. I'm not taking a stance, Joe.
God.
Standing where your stance is. We're
well, that
standing
would be someplace where a stance had been made.
When the Rangers endorse Formica instead of marble, which is clearly a superior top for Tanner.
I don't know whether to believe you or not.
I don't think he's right. I think marble is one of the most established and esteemed of the blocks of stone that you could build things out of.
That's what I said.
Formica over marble.
Formica is inferior. Yeah.
Yes, far inferior.
Well, on that horrible note.
We've covered a lot of things on this podcast. Mike at Big Deep BSB on Twitter. Blue Shirt Panther.
No one should follow me on Twitter. I don't want
Blue Shirt Panther .com/Rivenry. The enemy that is Fanrag Sports. And yeah, I think that might be it. Beth Macklin. Macklin. And you can find her on Blue Shirt Panther as well, sometimes in Blue Shirt Panther.
The bane of librarians everywhere.
Yes, the bane of librarians everywhere. Somewhere, if you are in a library and you say Beth's name three times, the librarian is obliged to tackle you.
You are some librarian's white whale, Beth.
Oh, you are.
It's
true.
Rubbing your bunion.
Mike.
The one that got away. What?
Got as a sphinx this week. I'm a whale.
It's a literary reference, Beth. It's doubly appropriate because it has to do with literature.
I have the most important question of the podcast. Which one was more offensive, sphinx or whale?
Neither of them are offensive because they're Mike, but, you know, anyone else would be dead by now.
No.
How cute.
So
me, Blue Shirt Panther. See, he comes after
can
both
of us. Can I at
least
be like Ahab and not the whale?
Yeah, you can be all... I suppose
my daughter is sitting
is
in a pile of books in the living room.
The librarian is searching for the book, which Beth stole.
I did.
It could be.
And maybe it is on the shelf that fell down in the living room. I don't know. My child is just sitting out there mournfully in a pile of books waiting for me to come fix it. So.
Did your child get hit with the books and is now injured and you haven't helped her? Are we
all right, gentlemen?
Oh, here we go. This is the part of the podcast where Beth just shoves off and leaves Mike and I floating around by ourselves.
Good night, gentlemen.
Goodbye, Beth. Yeah,
good night, Beth.
What a whale.
Whoa.
What? Well, I could say that because she dropped off and she's not going to listen to the podcast. So, thank you all for listening. Please donate on Patreon, patreon.com/blueshirtpanther. Okay. Peace.
Good night.